Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shohei Ohtani is the crown jewel. I like that, Mike Golic Jr. Hopefully you think I'm the crown jewel here, okay? Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You know I love bling, so when you said that, I was like, you're speaking my language, sir.
I know you're looking for a very specific type of bling, so...
Touche. It's been 2 years, y'all, since the last MLB All-Star game, and it's back tonight. So in about 30 minutes, we will be chatting with our own MLB analyst to get us ready. By the way, coverage starts right after us, the 2021 MLB All-Star game, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Now, a lot of All-Star energy here today leading up into the MLB All-Star game, but I want to start with the NBA because, Junior, we are in the NBA Finals. And finally, doesn't it just like feel like it? The Milwaukee Bucks, they got a win. And Giannis Antetokounmpo has been just, my goodness, magnificent. It just has been putting it all together. Now I found this interesting, Junior. You brought up how he has sort of just been himself throughout the playoffs, minus the health situation. Okay, let's not put the health factor in because that man looks like he's 100%. He's been himself. And what as hoopers, we always say, like, how do you know someone's aggressive? And I've always been taught that you know by the free throws. Now, in game three, Giannis drew 17 foul shots himself compared to the 16 for the Suns as a whole. And if I'm a coach and I look at that, I'm like, okay, that star player is being super aggressive. Us, we are not. Coach Monty Williams, based on the sound we heard, he was like, all right, we knew that, especially with how Devin Booker shot, it was probably not going to be our night. This is a series. Let's rest our guys for the next one. It seems like Giannis, Milwaukee, they stole all the momentum. But do you think that, like, they have enough, Junior? Because I know that your prediction has been, like, Phoenix Suns still got this.
Yeah, I still think the Suns win this in seven, Chiney, ultimately. And some of that has to do with health and continuity, the things that we've talked about. Some of it is believing that, quite frankly, Devin Booker, had he been in that game, because we know Monty Williams made a business decision there that was predicated on what had happened already. There's part of me that still thinks, hey, you got Devin Booker in there. That guy's a stopper. Like, he stops runs. That game might not have gotten out of hand to the place that it did, but he felt like it was going a certain way and made that decision. So I'm still confident in the Suns today, but I am even more confident in the fact that Giannis is going to walk out of this series one way or another with very few questions asked by anyone out here. I point no further than our own Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, who has been on record saying that Giannis is the Robin to Chris Middleton's Batman in this.
Say it one more time.
The Robin to Chris Middleton's Batman.
Okay.
That same Kendrick Perkins stepped to the mic on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and said Giannis deserves more respect.
When they see all these things, they're like, oh, we're used to seeing Giannis do this, which is unfair. You know, at the end of the day, you have to give credit when credit's due. I always say I can't applaud a fish for swimming, okay? But right now, the way that Giannis is in the water, he's acting like a great white, and we don't see them rarely. So at the end of the day, I feel like as a fraternity at all, we have to start respecting Giannis for what he's doing and what he's bringing to the table for his greatness.
I appreciate Kendrick Perkins' ability to use otherworldly metaphors constantly. Analogy game is on point in this entire deal. That being said, Shanae, who's this we?
Thank you. Ain't me. We? Who? Ain't me. Who? I sound like Cliff.
He got a mouse in his pocket? Because I don't know who that we is right now. We have known what Big Perk has been out here on, so
man,
I don't like
man,
that.
Man, learn how to speak
us.
French.
Yeah, I guess apparently. Apparently, voulez-vous coucher, whatever you need, Perk.
Je m'appelle Chiney. Parlez-vous français?
They say, you're going to lose me there. I took Spanish.
She said her name is Chiney.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, when I heard the we, I was like, hold up. It was you, big bro. Big bro, what's good? I disagree with Perk because what we're witnessing from Giannis is him swimming. It's not like we're seeing a great white. Like, yeah, he sees blood in the water and he does what shark does. But he's always been a shark. He's never been a fish, in my opinion. And his team is delivering alongside him. You know, so, like, this is what I expected of Giannis. This is not like he deserves respect for finally getting, you know, to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, that to me is amazing. Because if it was anything shorter of that, that would be problematic. Especially a year after you come off of an extension. But for him to dominate, This is what I wanted. This is why I thought Milwaukee coming into the playoffs could win an NBA championship, because when he plays like this, this is exactly what it produces. It produces wins. And Phoenix is a formidable opponent. But if Giannis keeps playing like this, the expectation is, let's be real, they have a real shot at winning. Now, it's going to be the other pieces, Junior, that I think will make this more interesting, right? I know Giannis can drop 40 every night in the series. I know Chris Paul can lead their team and get the, you know, the Phoenix Suns going offensively, whether that means dropping 30 points or 10 points and 15 assists. Like, I know that. Who else? Do I know Devin Booker is going to continue to be a sniper? I know he's going to make shots, but is he going to make, like you said, the timely shots? I'm watching for that. Will DeAndre Ayton give me 20-20? I'm watching for that. Will Chris Middleton still push the narrative that he is the closer on the team? I'm watching for that. Giannis? Nah, I expect him to go out there and do his thing.
Yeah, Chiney, I look at all the things that you just mentioned there, because I'm with you on Giannis. I think from his perspective, what we're getting from Giannis is a much shorter timeline but similar thought process to what we're getting with Chris Paul. I am not seeing anything new. I'm just seeing it in a place that this person has not been yet. And I think we draw different conclusions for that, when in reality, Chris Paul is 16 years in, so we know who he is. Giannis also has two MVPs to his name and a Defensive Player of the Year. So this stuff, while there have been tweaks and there have been some legitimate basketball things I think Giannis did better in Game 3, has done in this series, that have allowed him to turn that aggression into increased production that helps his team, it's the ultimate what we expected. If we're going to look around at the rest of that crew, Chiney, I think this comes down really to one guy, Drew Holiday.
Ooh.
Can Drew Holiday hit continuously from the outside? Because what was he, 5-for-10 from beyond the arc in that last game, and started that early. And so they, the Suns, had to respect him from the perimeter early in that game. We've seen series where he is cold, they are down, and when he gets hot like that, this is a different team. So, Chiney, I think he's the key for them.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm sorry if I've been distracted. If you're watching me on ESPN Plus, NECA's in the building. Excuse me, sorry, Iraq NECA is in the building.
Ooh.
So she was hitting me up like, hey, let me into your place, okay? But, yeah, like, Drew Holiday, yes. He should be a big – okay, so as much as we've been talking about Chris Paul, right, and Devin Booker, we've also been talking about DeAndre Ayton developing. They need that three type of player discussion, right? Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, and you need Drew Holiday to take down a team that has that momentum like Phoenix. So you're absolutely right. Drew is a talented two-way player, and if he makes his mark on the series, guess what? That could easily be the thing that brings the Bucks a championship.
So, again, for anyone that's missed it, Giannis Antetokounmpo has done so much that Kendrick Perkins, the person who called him Robin in this equation and who authored this analogy here, take a listen to this one first, yes, from this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
When they see all these things, they're like, oh, we're used to seeing Giannis do this, which is unfair. You know, at the end of the day, you have to give credit when credit's due. I always say I can't applaud a fish for swimming.
I don't know a lot of people who always say that, but then again, we have unearthed even more from Kendrick Perkins that we should not be surprised when these things come up.
And where I'm from in Beaumont, Texas, in the country, we don't care about names. We don't care about none of that. You shoot something my way, I'm going to address you like the numbers on the house.
I'm going to address you like the numbers on the house. That was him addressing his beef with Quavo, was it not?
Yeah, he definitely gave Quavo some bars.
Listen, Quavo... Quavo finds a way to always get revenge, though, because the one thing that we have noticed is that man has never turned down an invitation to any all-star celebrity event. You saw him strike out DK Metcalf in the celebrity game, which begs the question, and I was asked this earlier on Highly Questionable, do you get to celebrate striking out someone in slow-pitch softball?
That's a good question.
I don't think you do. DK Metcalf, like DK Metcalf, who could no doubt, like, eat Quavo. If he decided to choose and he decided, hey, I'm higher on the food chain, it's a wrap for Quavo at that point.
I would celebrate. If I struck out somebody in a celebrity game, I would celebrate no matter who it was. Shoot, it doesn't even have to be a celebrity. If I struck you out, Junior, I'm celebrating.
All right, that hurts on a number of levels here, but I'm going to ignore that one, take that one in stride, and try and find a way to maintain my pride through the rest of this segment. So why don't I try and do that right now while Shannon gets this read up on the board for us here? Because has all this management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. All right, well, I try and recover from that historic burn here. We're going to check in with an historic turn through the first half of the MLB season. that heads off and gets its coronation tonight in the All-Star game. The face of baseball made everyone stand up at attention last night. Next, you're on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So Pete Alonso is your 2021 Home Run Derby champion, but Shohei Ohtani, I mean, he continues to steal the show. Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Jhené Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. And make sure you guys join Vlad Guerrero Jr. and the rest of the AL superstars as they take on our favorite, Fernando Tatis Jr. and the NL Stars. Coverage of the 2021 MLB All-Star Game begins tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, Jr., it's been a fun time. I was going to ask you, what was your first sport?
My first sport was actually, like, the one I wanted to play growing up was hockey. Believe it or not, I started playing hockey when I lived in Arizona as a kid, of all places, going to the rink. And I'll never forget, Jhené, the spot where I really had trouble with it was I was always in the penalty box. Me and my brother played in an age where you weren't allowed to hit people as much. And so we were bigger kids. We weren't the best skaters, so we used to go out there to try to beat the hell out of
people. What did you say your first one was? You said hockey was second? Did you say you cut out for a second?
Hockey was first.
Hockey was first. Did you play baseball?
I played baseball very poorly, Jhené. Very poorly.
Well, wait, I need to hear the story really quick before we get to...
Yeah, so the reason I always tell people, because I grew up, like I said, I started playing hockey. I wanted to be a hockey player when I was a little kid. I used to go to Phoenix Coyotes games all the time. When I was out in Arizona, I had posters on my wall, Keith Tkachuk, Jeremy Roenick, and Nikolai Hobby-Bulin in the net for the guys back in the day. And then I transitioned. I played baseball as a kid, Jhené, and I will never forget the moment I knew baseball wasn't for me. Because I played in the fourth grade league in my town where you're on a team and you play other kids in the town. Then at the end of that, they pick an all-star team and they take you around and they play other towns throughout this. And so I made the all-star team for my fourth grade baseball team. Very excited about that. I was going out there, going to do the damn thing. I had a batting average during the all-star circuit, so multiple games of this, of zero. I did not record a single hit during that all-star circuit. And so the next year, I heard about this sport called lacrosse where I could get a stick and hit people with it, and I never looked back.
So you like violence. That's basically what we take away. You like violence. For someone that's so nice, I mean, it makes sense. I only did T-ball, and I think I played it once in PE, and I was like, this ain't for me. Like, I loved, you know, running the bases and stealing bases, but basketball called my, you know, I don't even know. It just fell into my lap because your girl was tall, had long legs. Now, Junior, that was actually really interesting. Hockey, I never pegged you as a hockey guy, but the whole hitting, you know, lacrosse, that all makes sense. But, you know, getting your perspective, I don't know why I thought, didn't we have a, oh, it was, what was that back, the picture you had that we had all over the network? I forgot what sport you were, as a little kid, you were playing a sport. I thought it was baseball, but maybe not.
No, it was baseball over the network, Jhené. That was my little league team, me and my little Florida Marlins jersey there, back in the day, riding around getting it. Yeah.
I know, you are so cute and innocent. You still are, but, you know, I don't know if you like women saying you're cute and innocent, but it's all good.
I don't think most would believe it either, but.
I know, this is true. Good thing that they keep us 3,000 miles apart. speaking of all these all-stars and your all-star experience, which was trauma, well, what we experienced yesterday was celebration and victory. And it's been great to see everything emerge with Shohei Ohtani. The Angel star, he dominated all the headlines, you know, as of late, based on his play. I mean, pitcher, ferocious hitter, 27 years old, leads the league with 33 home runs. And I think, you know, unfortunately, the controversy with the comments that, you know, have been atoned for at this point, especially centering on our network, has just added more celebratory rhetoric, you know, whether it's on the timeline or even you can just see how players are rallying around him. It's just a special moment. Junior, what do you think, you know, as you see this manifesting for baseball? Because we've always said in sports like that, we need stars, we need villains, but here we're really seeing a shooting star emerge.
Yeah, Jhené, what I think it is, and the shame of what happened yesterday was it went from a celebration of Shohei because everyone involved came together in this situation and said, oh yeah, we have something special. And so Joe Maddon, his manager, was like, yeah, go ahead, Kevin Cash, do your thing. You can start him. You can start him as a pitcher. You can have him bat. You can do all these things with him. We're going to have him in the Home Run Derby because he's special. And this weekend is supposed to be about celebrating for the fans, right? Like, I heard all these complaints earlier from Paul Hembakides on Greeny's show talking about how these players that have opted out of the All-Star game are forgetting the fans. Shohei has said, I want to do all this because I know it's what people want to see. everyone involved acknowledged that. And so the shame became yesterday turned into defending Shohei's spot at the top of the sport and not celebrating it in the way we needed to. Because, Janae, you saw it last night. If you looked at the home run derby, you saw players. I mean, God, we looked at Trey Mancini, who is one of the other great stories of this contest, said during the home run derby, I probably should have been warming up, practicing, doing something, getting ready for my round, but I didn't want to miss Shohei. He was the hook for everyone involved. And, Janae, I feel like that's the thing that we look for. However you want to quantify it, whether it is just the overwhelming performance that he's displayed so far, whether it's the smile we saw even when he was grounding out hits during the home run derby, he's got something that draws people in, and that's what baseball's been missing for a while.
Exactly. And, you know, earlier in our conversation, you brought up, you know, the versions of who should be the face of X, Y, or Z, what sport, and marketability centering that debate. I think when we talk about marketability, we no longer have to look through the lens of traditionally our viewpoint here in the U.S. Like, sports is global at this point. Like, that's just where it is. Barriers in which we discuss these things are broken down because of social media making it feel like we can understand, learn people in real time no matter where they are, right? And so when all of this was going on, I just started thinking, and maybe this is because I come from an international background, right? That, you know, even though we have traditional senses of what we feel like Major League Baseball is, that global perspective is what created this star, right? And the star, I mean, I don't know why I'm going down all these analogies. I want to say a star is born and all that type of stuff. But it has been a beautiful, I guess you could say, reclamation of what things should be celebrated in sport. Because, mind you, not too long ago, we were talking a lot about sticky stuff.
That is true. Now, lest we not forget that normally... That is a great point, Janae. Normally when baseball gets to us at the national level, because I said it in the open and I believe it's true, baseball and college football have a similar tension between being a regional sport and one that has an obligation to the national level as well. It's got that broad appeal at the same time. And so when you've got that, what happens is we tend to come in and pluck the storylines that work for everybody. And that's usually baseball doing something wrong. And instead, this year it has been one player doing so much right. And he's got company. We've talked about the young players on this league. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis, who's going to be batting leadoff opposite Shohei Ohtani at the start of this game tonight. So all of these guys becoming a part of the sport, different backgrounds that they all come from, like, it's what every sport is efforting. Janae, how often do we hear commissioners of different sports talk about trying to make their games more globally recognized, more globally understood? Like, you got proof of concept here that baseball is so popular that you got this otherworldly talent who decided to come from Japan and share his gifts over here. That should be proof of what everyone's been chasing for.
You know what I like to say? Cosign, retweet, baby.
Sometimes it's just that easy, folks. And so we get to enjoy Mo Shohei tonight. Like, thankfully, the further and further away we get from these comments, the closer we get to just getting back to the baseball. And that was where it felt pure and good last night. And that's where it's going to be fun to check out coming up tonight, because we've got our coverage on ESPN Radio of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game coming up at 7 o'clock Eastern right after our show. And we'll talk to someone next who's going to be on that call to see not only how we feel about the face of baseball coming into tonight's game, but how we feel about some of the players that aren't here next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Here's Ohtani blasting one to dead center field. That one's got to be in the 450 range or so.
I wish sports fans understood the ridiculousness of what Ohtani's doing right now.
You heard it straight from the queen, Christine Lisi, in our Sports Center update. Join Shohei Ohtani and the rest of the AL superstars as they take on Fernando Tatis Jr. and the NL Stars. Coverage of the 2021 MLB All-Star Game begins tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. streaming live on ESPN Plus here on ESPN Radio. Chinay Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr., former Little League All-Star, best part that we learned today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we head straight there to get ready for the MLB All-Star Game. Chris Singleton, our own ESPN MLB analyst, joins us. And Chris, I don't know if you heard our own Tim Kirkjian say that the matchup between Shohei and Fernando Tatis Jr. might be the swaggiest matchup of the MLB All-Star Game. Do you agree?
First of all, what does he know about swag? You know what I'm saying? That's what we got to answer first. What does he know about swag? No, all right. You know what? Okay, I'll give it to him. I think, yeah, out of the gates, we're going to be looking at that. That first inning, all eyes, Otani's going to lead off, and then he's going to take the mound, and he's going to face Tatis Jr. Yeah, if a lot of people tuned out after the first inning or two, I mean, you might get it, but, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. But I think out of the gates, we're going to be in for some real excitement. And I just hope that Otani, you guys watched the home run derby last night, man, he was struggling in terms of stamina and just in between rounds, hands on his knees, and it looked like it was taking him a long time to recover. That can happen here, you know, with the elevation and altitude and everything like that, thinner air. So I just hope that he's rested and he can come out and have a good showing. He understands that there are a lot of high expectations for him, you know, over these couple of days. Last night he didn't meet those in the Derby. But in the game, you know, they're still looking for a lot. And, you know, all eyes are on him here in the United States and then in Japan as well.
Chris, what did you take away from that experience last night with him, with all the eyes? What was the feel like there around the stadium when he got up to bat? Because watching it seemed like a palpable energy.
Yeah, well, you know, going first back to batting practice, I mean, he hit a ball almost to, like, the very top walking area, and it's one thing, you know, there's a lot going on in batting practice, there are a lot of people on the field moving around, but when all of a sudden you hear, like, this collective gasp because a guy just hits a moonshot in batting practice, kind of whets the appetite for what is to come. But, you know, it was not a good showing for him. He had a lot of snap hook in his swing, even though he did hit some really long home runs, and he did compete. But that just goes to show. I thought for Otani standards, he had a terrible home run derby, and he still advanced and moved on and had a shot. So I think that speaks to just how talented he is.
Former MLB vet and MLB analyst for us here at ESPN, Chris Singleton, joins us right here on ESPN Radio, Chené and Golic Jr. And no game last year, game this year. How does it feel to be back out there?
It's great. It's great. And, you know, Colorado, this ballpark here, I mean, Coors Field, and just where it's situated in the, you know, downtown area, it's one of those really great destinations for an All-Star game. You know, a few years back, probably a little bit longer than that now, but we had the All-Star game in San Diego, and to a man, to a woman, everyone was like, my vote is to have the All-Star game here every single year, because right there downtown, it's just such a great environment outside the ballpark and walk around, and you get in here, I mean, the fans, they pack it out at this place, and it's got to be one of the larger capacity, you know, ballparks in all of baseball. But man, it is chunk full of folks, standing room only, and last night was pretty impressive, the crowd and the atmosphere. So great to be back and just great to be a part of everything.
We talked so much about what we expected last night from Shohei, how excited we are to see him getting the start tonight on the mound, getting the lead off opposite Fernando Tatis Jr. And the other side here, what are you most looking forward to in this game? Is there anything else that we've glossed over maybe that you're really excited to see in this year's All-Star?
No, I think you're on top of it. This is one of those years, again, I mean, where we have first-timers. This year, 40 first-timers selected, and, you know, we've seen that trend over the last few years where a lot more guys, you know, this is their first time in, and then we have some veteran guys that aren't here. But, yeah, I think the two biggest, you know, names and faces in the game are clearly Otani and Fernando Tatis Jr. So getting to see that, hopefully – we get to see, you know, a few innings. I would imagine that Otani's going to get at least two at-bats. I mean, there's no way he's just going to, you know, pitch and then hit once and it's over with. I think a lot of people would be disappointed. So, you know, expect to see him get two at-bats. And I'd expect to see Tatis Jr. get at least two at-bats in this one. So, yeah, you didn't miss anything. I think that's really where the focus is.
You talked about some of the faces that aren't there. I've heard from Buster Olney and some others around here that they were disappointed that a lot of these vets chose to opt out of this game. How did you feel about those decisions?
Well, it's a mixed bag for me, and just being honest. It's one thing, and I was talking with Buster a little while ago. There are people that, let's just say the Houston Astros, and they've got some injuries, guys didn't show up. Okay, listen, we know that if they were here, they would be booed voraciously at an All-Star game. And it's not like it's one of those things where it's a crosstown rivalry guy playing for, you know, another team, and maybe there's some good fun in a boo or like a Cardinals Cubs type of thing. I mean, you would be in a neutral spot and you would feel it at a a time of the year where this is like the celebration of the game. And so you have some people that are saying, oh, man, I've got players that give a finger, amputate a finger to be there just, to have that experience. But I also think when you're in-house and you're a skipper and you understand and see what your players are dealing with and going through and what they're enduring, even guys that weren't part of that scandal team in the World Series championship team that wear the Astros uniform today that get booed just because of their association. I mean, they booed Orbit, the mascot, yesterday when they were announcing the mascots here at Coors Field. So there's no question. And who wants to feel that? You're doing announcements of, like, every player is going to get announced, you're going to run out, you're going to be standing down there in front of 50,000 people and just being booed at a time where everything's supposed to be super positive. So, I'm not the judge on that, but I don't judge one way or the other the decisions they made, in that regard. Jacob DeGrom, obviously, he's kind of that face of the game in terms of having done it for a while. Disappointing not to see him here, but, he has his reasons. And when we become a game that's become more individualized, guys being able to do their own thing, wear what they want to wear on the field and all that, I think it lends itself even more so to deciding, hey, if I want to take that time and recover and rest and be ready for the second half so I can help my team win the division and get to October baseball, I mean, you really can't argue with them for making that decision.
It's going to be fascinating to watch and see if that continues to become more and more of a trend, because you're right, it can point towards what these guys want to do for their teams on the field in the second half of the year. But a weekend that's supposed to be celebratory, and still will be, certainly takes some hit when it comes up with that. Chris, we appreciate you giving us some time ahead of the game tonight.
Thanks, Chris.
Enjoy it. We're looking forward to hearing you on the call.
Hey, thanks a lot. Who's the swaggiest guest you guys had today?
It's got to be Chris Singleton.
All right.
There we go. Okay. That's how you stick the landing.
Yes,
our
sir.
ESPN MLB analyst, Chris Singleton, who, again, you'll hear on the call for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game starting right here, 7 o'clock Eastern, after our show finishes up. Coming up next, though, all the swag in the world cannot save you from embarrassment in the Major League Baseball All-Star Softball Game. We will tell you who got put on notice next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is Burna Boy, y'all, and we did play Joanna, and I tried to keep my cool, but because this is energy time, I feel like it's appropriate for me to sing, or at least do the Burna voice. Yeah. Hey,
excited for the podcast audience that's just going to hear you making these noises.
I feel so sorry for everyone who listens to the podcast, but guess what? If you're listening to the podcast, know this. I love you. I really do, and thanks for hanging with us. Janae and Golic Jr., here on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus, Janae Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now, we had an amazing crew, the swaggiest crew per Chris Singleton, our own ESPN MLB analyst, that is going to get us set. Well, he actually just got us set, and he is currently getting set for the 2021 MLB All-Star Game, which starts right after this, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on ESPN Radio. That's when the coverage starts. So make sure you guys stay with us right here. We also had a very swaggy Lori Hernandez, two-time Olympic medalist. Also, is it Marvel Universe? Do we call it that?
God, Janae, we really need to get you caught up on these movies. Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yes, Janae.
MCU. I know that, right? MCU. Marvel Cinematic Universe. All right? She talked about all things preparing for Tokyo, where she will be commentating. Then also, her favorite Marvel film, which was... Actually, I'm not going to say it. Just go to the podcast and find out. And Junior, you're going to have to tell me about your conversation with Bennett Lloyd.
Yeah, Bennett Lloyd, or as he's probably more commonly known on the internet, that fan that fell over the wall trying to catch a ball at the Home Run Derby last night, stopped by and told us what the hell was going through his mind and why he didn't just wait for another ball. And he's going to be back in the same spot tonight in the stands for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. So we're going to see if he gets redemption.
You heard it here first, okay? Jeez, Junior, that's it? That's all you got? Keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
That's what she was looking for, ladies and gentlemen, here.
Oh, that's what we're trying to find to fill in that...
I got a firm handle on what's going on this radio show because I am a professional. What, Cliff? What's going on?
Whoa, no. I'm not going to let you do that to me.
Joanna.
I'm not going to let you keep my cool, but because this is energy time.
Y'all are some mean people.
I feel like it's appropriate for me to sing, or at least do the burner voice. No, yeah. You're not going to hear that again.
Hey, I'm just so excited for the podcast audience that's just going to hear you making these noises.
I feel so sorry for everyone who listens to the podcast, but guess what? If you're listening to the podcast, know this. I love you.
Keeping
that same
energy.
Wow, you cut off the I love you? Wow.
Listen, I had to cut it. I had to cut it real fast. It was in a time crunch. Y'all tried to pressure me in to keep that same energy. You were taking kind of long. You didn't know what you were doing. So I blame you.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Wow. I blame Fitz. Go, Junior.
Always remember, you can always blame Jason Fitz if you want to. Keeping that same energy, though, Chinee, where are we at on the embarrassment level for striking out in the Major League Baseball All-Star Celebrity Softball game here? Because that's what DK Metcalf, Seahawks wide receiver, did last night on the receiving end of an absolute burner of a slow-pitch softball pitch from Quavo in that game. Is that embarrassing?
Not at all. Like, you go out there and try. I would have loved to go out there and try as well. And, like, you got to swing. Like, you got – he swang. Well, swung, whatever. Come on now, Junior. Like, this is fine. This is all fun. I'm not embarrassed.
Yeah, listen, DK Metcalf can just open – like, take his shirt off and immediately be unembarrassed again
redeemed.
By everything.
Be redeemed.
So he's good on that front. He just swings like everybody else in Major League Baseball to try and kill that damn thing. So
right?
Keeping that same energy, though, some good news from Major League Baseball. Commissioner Rob Manfred announced on Monday that the league plans to donate up to $150 million over the next 10 years to the Players Alliance, which is a nonprofit that seeks to improve the diversity within baseball at levels and provide, quote, greater opportunities for the black community, both in our game and in places we live in, play in, and care about the most. So Major League Baseball starting to put its money where its mouth is, it seems, Chinee.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I don't want to sound weird when I say this, but, like, love that gesture. I think it's also followed up by actions, right? And we've seen them make quick changes, put out quick statements to show that they've learned over the past year to address the needs of all of their players, right? So this is a great gesture, but of course actions matter as well here too.
And I think the actions are starting to lead to us having the conversations we've had about players that are now becoming the face of the league and players that don't just look white. Like, we have now seen the faces of the league start to become a more multicultural group, and I think that is starting to speak to an environment I hope we're creating around Major League Baseball where people feel like they can come in and feel welcome.
And be more expressive. Like, that's why we are Team Padres over here, right? Like, Fernando Tatis energy, right? Like,
You saw, by the way, their influence on things here. The Padres and their six-pound chain that we have seen swagging out on the field there was also showing up last night. Pete Alonso, when he won the Home Run Derby, got a spinny chain that he was able to wear after that contest. So, innovators in San Diego are Padres. Keeping that same energy here on Chinee and Golic Jr., we also saw a pretty impressive moment after some really awful stuff here. Marcus Rashford, who was part of the crew for England, missing penalty kicks that ultimately ended in a 3-2 shootout loss to Italy at Wembley Stadium, said he was, quote, on the verge of tears seeing the messages of support he's received after the mural in his city of Manchester was vandalized after that game, Chinee. People went and put a tarp over the vandalized areas, left hearts and notes and well wishes for him, coming together to help a guy who had, listen, been through a really stressful moment and received a lot of undue hate on the other side.
Yeah, and he was not alone, but, like, that's the first thing that I noted. As bad as it was that we all saw the blatant, you know, demonstrations of racism, it was overwhelming the positivity to try to redefine who we are, you know, collectively as sports fans, and where that falls in the bigger scheme of things with society, you know? So I'm glad that he was on the verge of tears, you know, because that means good energy is surrounding him, and that's what he needs right now.
Exactly. That's what we need more of and less of all that crap that came before.
Thank you.
But finishing this off the right way and keeping that same energy, Matlack, are we surprised here, our On Thin Ice expert, that we have images apparently coming from the Stanley Cup celebration from the Tampa Bay Lightning included a very dented-looking Stanley Cup?
I saw
that. Because
this
seems like the most likely trophy to get dented during the parade.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, not surprising at all, but I also love the irony that it's getting shipped to Montreal to get fixed. So Montreal does get its cup.
The hits, they just keep coming. That is some absolute sicko stuff here as Tampa enjoys back-to-back Stanley Cup championships.
Let's go, Tampa.
And they do it the only way they know how, getting real drunk and throwing stuff off of the back of boats. So that's how they celebrated here. If you want to celebrate baseball, stay here on ESPN Radio. The coverage starts next.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.